Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Star Chat. It's another week, another episode of Star Chat, where we are chatting about the star. Of course, that always means the Dallas Cowboys. Jared Sandler, Ari Temkin. This is Star Chat along the 105.3 The Fan podcast network. Check out all the great podcasts across the network. Jared, the Cowboys are bad after being really good. What happened?
Well, Ari, not only do we have some podcasts on this network, but there are videos that come up, and I will steal something I recorded while sitting on a couch the other day, and that is that...
Were you wearing pants?
I was. I don't know, actually. It was only from like the neck up, so I actually might not have been. There's a chance. Like now, I mean, I'm not wearing pants.
Right, but that's a prerequisite for this podcast.
Right, the pants... We should start calling it the Pantsless Podcast.
The Pantsless Podcast.
So... I guess it you know, this is Thursday, so the game happened Sunday, and more people are starting to say these things. But we kind of, I mean, I don't want to go all Mike Fisher on everyone here, but the Star Chat podcast has been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. And that is...
We were first.
Yes.
We broke this news first.
The defense, and it's not just the players, the coaching is bad right now. And obviously, offensively, this team has scuffled. But you know what? There have been some reasons as to why. And everyone deals with injuries, and I think part of coaching and playing is being able to work around injuries. But it's not easy when you're without your two tackles and when you're without your best receiver, and your second best receiver has the worst game of his young career probably, and Michael Gallup when every ball hit him in the helmet.
Right, it's not like, you know, the Packers put 31 on the Cowboys without Devonta Adams, but he's not even good or important for them, right? So, I mean, you know, they can go with Alan Lazard and some other really big-name receivers.
You've got to work around, right? I mean, Alan Lazard made big plays, and so you need that. But and so there are issues with the offense, all right? Play
but
calling,
defense.
Performance from players, but I just think we got to put... And Chris Richard, everyone's got a love affair with Chris Richard. And if you're going to credit Chris Richard for last year, then I think you also need to blame Chris Richard for this year. Because
I thought it was Marinelli this year and Richard last year.
Of course, yeah. It's always tweaked for convenience. But so players individually are not performing well. Jalen and LVE have not been good. Anthony Brown is the best cornerback in the NFL at being close to the receiver, but then just deciding not to ever try and make a play on the ball, allowing them to catch it. Byron Jones is a good corner, but doesn't make plays. Like, he's not a playmaker.
Not a ball skill guy.
The Cowboys are the only team in the NFL to not have a possession start on the plus side of the field. I mean, that's crazy. But schematically, what was maddening is that it seemed like the Cowboys were protecting against the run. Well, first of all, I don't care if you've got Barry Sanders in his heyday. We know enough now. You go and 12 yards your way down the field. What's a big play for Le'Veon Bell? I mean, like, yes, he could break off a big run, but like 12, 15 yards, and that's like, oh my gosh, that's a big play. Well, who cares? Make them do that over and over, and they're not going to, but the Cowboys were so committed. Meanwhile, they're giving up 20 yards on this pass and 92 on that pass because Cheeto stinks, by the way. And 30 on this pass, and there was no adjustment made.
Right.
None. And that, to me, like, you got a single high safety, and you make no adjustment to protect against the pass, even after they've established that they're carving you up. I mean, if it's me, I don't care who you're playing, beat me with the run. I am challenging every team in the NFL.
It's not efficient.
To beat me, exactly. I don't care who it is.
It's a mid-range game. Shoot a bunch of mid-range jump shots.
I am baffled that they, out the gate, had that philosophy of beat me with the pass. But then to not make the adjustments?
Well, they knew Sam Darnold was starting, right? Like, they didn't think, hey, Luke Falk is going to start. Maybe that's what they thought.
I don't know. I don't get it. And I know that it's not all in coaches because these players have stunk up the joint as well. And it's both. I mean, this sort of disappointment doesn't happen because of just one or just the other.
Right.
But it is maddening to me. And I don't know what, like, to me, oh man, these guys know so much more than we do. I'm not at all sitting here suggesting. I know there are guys on our station who maybe think that they. I'm not suggesting that. But I would love to know the explanation as to why this thing that appears to be so obvious, obviously, is not that obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the same questions on offense, but I do want to. I want to stay here for a second because, to your point and to your credit, the first episode of this that we did was right before the season started, and you, like, in our pre-show meeting, were talking about why do we just assume this is going to be a top five defense? Like, what are the things holding them back? So you, to go all Mike Fisher here, you were 100% right about what could be a major issue with this defense. And it's a problem. And it's funny because something – offensive coordinators – at the end of last year, figured out something about Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith as linebackers and running the football, and they have exploited those two guys. So in I guess, the Cowboys' haste to minimize what Le'Veon Bell could potentially do to them, they basically said, we're not going to put Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch on an island again because these guys have struggled. But it's like, well, once they start passing the ball efficiently, you kind of have to allow them to beat you with Le'Veon. It's not efficient. And even though the Cowboys have been gashed by running games recently, I just think that's it's a red herring for the true issue, which is their offense has been suddenly it's gone back to what it was last year. And this is more of the like, what am I not getting here? Why is this seem so obvious? These guys should know way more about football than I do. And they do. First 3 weeks, we saw 38% play action, 34% play action. They were number one in the NFL in running play action. They were running a ton of RPO. There was pre-snap motion. They were passing the ball to open up the run. I don't care if they're playing bad teams. That's what they were doing schematically, which against any team, that's a good approach. Suddenly, 3 weeks after that, the next three games, all of a sudden now, this is the same offense from last year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of second and sevens and second and eights because we love 2 and 3 yard runs on first down. And you know what? Also, Zeke, who wasn't bad by any means on Sunday, but, you know, he's
not the same player.
He's not the same player.
Running the ball down on first down, down two scores in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, this is Jason Garrett. I hate to make it that simplistic. Jason Garrett was involved in the offensive game planning early on in the season, but there's no other reasonable explanation for the offense was doing this and new things, and here's this 30-year-old first-time play caller that's doing this, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, but now they're going exactly back to what they were last year.
Yeah.
Inefficient, not no play action, pocket passing Dak, no RPOs. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. So their defense is holding them back, no question. But I think the running game issues they've had defensively is really just it's a red herring for the big issue, which is if you're playing offense effectively, it doesn't matter that you can't stop the run because that's not efficient.
Yeah. No, you're right. I guess you could look at it both ways, right? You could say, well, the defense doesn't ever really get game-changing stops, so the offense constantly has a long field to
which
go
is
down,
true.
Which is true. But you're right. If you are aggressive and you're getting on the board first, you're forcing the other team's hand and then thus making it a little easier for you. I mean, there's a reason why, as many big plays as we see in the passing game these days, there's a reason why 3rd and 15 is a low percentage probability right. Because teams are playing for that.
Right.
You don't have an option at that point. You go take your 5 yards.
Right.
And when you're up 14 points, you're up 10 points, or just up at all, then it usually, I mean, if you're the Cowboys, it doesn't, but for maybe 27 or 28 other teams in the NFL, when you're down, you've got to open things up. With the RPOs last week, I wonder how much I do try things. You know, I do believe like they know things. There are reasons why, right?
Yes, of course.
The one thing I wonder if they would admit with truth serum is Dak was getting his ass kicked.
Yes, he was.
He was getting
destroyed.
Absolutely, and they didn't feel the need in that game to further expose him because he was taking a beating, and that's the only thing I can think of. But that then you take a step back in bigger picture. Why was he getting destroyed? Well, because you had your two tackles out and the offensive line just wasn't performing well. And well, you know what? There are teams in this league who don't have good offensive lines. And I mean, the Houston Texans being one of them. I mean, they have arguably the worst offensive line in the league. They find a way to score points and they find a way to work around it. And you know what? They got a mobile quarterback too. Dak's not as mobile as Deshaun, but the Cowboys' O-line isn't as bad as Houston's O-line. As a matter of fact, it should be a really good O-line.
Right.
I just think you've got to be able to work around these challenges. I mean, hell, the Eagles won the Super Bowl without their left tackle for what? Was Jason Peters out the entire year or most of the year? Or
right.
Maybe it was the – I don't remember.
No, he was.
Do you get any sense that this – do you have any confidence in this coaching staff?
No.
That they could withstand Tyron Smith? I mean, they haven't been able to.
No.
And you know what? Cam Fleming started for a Super Bowl winning team last year. So it's not like we're talking – I'm not trying to say Cam and Tyron
started
Smith.
Started in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
I'm not and saying won that, this, in a game in which the team that started him at left tackle won the Super Bowl.
And so I'm not saying that Cam Fleming is Tyron Smith, but I'm also not going to sit here and allow you to say, well, they've got putzes who shouldn't be in the NFL backing up players at these various positions.
There's really no other explanation other than Jason Garrett has taken control of this offense. There isn't, because – you don't suddenly have this offense that's doing these things that suddenly they stop doing for no reason. And, like, the thing is, RPO helps to minimize, in some cases, that pass rush. Like, just doing a straight drop in the pocket is you're worse off doing that when you have guys injured. So, like, the things that they didn't do, they're saying they didn't do it because, and this is what Dak and basically Kellen Moore said, well, when you're behind, it's tough, you kind of fall out of your... you know, your approach. It's like,
yeah, no, when you're behind, let's run it on first down.
It's exactly right. Yeah. Like, that's what Dak, when you're down, down by a bunch, you know, you kind of get out of running the ball, but it's like, but you didn't. You ran the ball on first down consecutive drives the fourth quarter. So, and by the way, there's no correlation whatsoever between an effective running game and an effective play action. It's going to freeze linebackers. So it's nonsensical. And here's basically the only sense I can make of it. Jason Garrett he's a dead man walking at this point. He is. You might be rolling your eyes and saying, we've said that for years. This is it. He's not going to trust his fate on a 30-year-old first-time play caller. He should.
And I agree. I understand that, though. Like, I get if Jason Garrett, you know, again, truth serum said, listen, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down
my way.
I fully respect that.
Me too.
It doesn't mean I think that's the best way. I don't. I don't think you do. I don't think anyone does. I do respect that, and I do think you're right. That is probably coming into play.
Yeah. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, how do you not – your offense is scoring 30-plus points. It looked great. And then all of a sudden, it's like it's back to what it was last year where when you score, it seems like a coincidence. I just don't – I don't understand it when it's like it's right there in front of you. Maybe it's an ego thing. But I don't know that the Cowboys have much of a shot – to do anything this year, make the playoffs, do anything this year, unless we see more of the Kellen Moore offense we saw the first 3 weeks of the season, period.
Two coaching things and then get to the Eagles. One, I understand that Cheeto physically profiles more as the type of guy that Chris Richard would like on the field, and Jordan Lewis is not that guy because he's smaller.
I don't care.
There's one guy in the secondary who makes plays on the football, and that's Jordan Lewis. And Cheeto seems like a great guy. I really enjoy when he's interviewed. He's an interesting person, seems like a good person. And you know what? He could be a good football player, but right now he's not. And Jordan Lewis, in the opportunities he's gotten, has made plays. I'd like to see more Jordan Lewis. I think Xavier Woods was put on some pedestal that he hasn't lived up to in any way, shape, or form. I have theories as to why, you know, he's put on this pedestal. That's for another conversation. And then the other thing is, I still don't understand, Ari. The Cowboys had a chance to tie the game, and they've got two timeouts. The two timeouts are irrelevant because if they don't get the two-point conversion, they have to get an onside kick. Saving those timeouts accomplishes zero. And either Dak or Jason Garrett or someone upstairs has to see that when they go to the line of scrimmage for that play, knowing the defensive coordinator for the New York Jets, Greg Williams, is known as a perpetual blitzer, that they are going to bring pressure.
Like 11 guys.
And if you're not going to call a timeout before you break the huddle because you want to see what the defense does, why are you not calling a timeout and using one of your two timeouts for, at that moment, the game-breaking or making play? Baffles me. because that play was a nothing from the minute that ball was snapped.
Once you took the timeout after you convert the third and two underneath, and you no longer have three timeouts.
The other two timeouts are irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Like they're irrelevant if you after that possession.
Right.
I mean,
it's over.
You know, if you want to call it.
If you had the three timeouts, then you save them. If you had the three timeouts, then you save them because then you can stop the clock and get the ball back. But if you once you've called that timeout, it's over.
Yeah.
So you're right. Either like call a timeout, look at the alignment, or.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's
all right. Let's move on to good things because here's why. I'll give people some
optimism.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any numbers on this, but if you think about Jason Garrett's time as the Cowboys coach, take away playoff games, when he's had these big type of regular season games, Cowboys actually usually do really well.
Yes,
including last year, they lose to Tennessee and then they go on a run. That big game against the Eagles. You know, they might not have Amari this week, and, you know, that could change things. You might have more information on that because you were just at lunch with Amari or whatever. They do bounce back well.
Right. No, they do. And, the team doesn't quit on them.
Yeah.
They keep fighting.
Well, okay. You know what? Sean Sharif tweeted something about challenging listeners to have conversations with wives or bosses using Garrett Talk. We should do 5 minutes next week. Of just like talking like we're Jason Garrett, but we don't have to do it now. So I'm expecting the Cowboys to come out and play really well. I know everyone's down on them, but it honestly seems like their MO is to actually play a really good game and to get everyone – like the conversations we're going to hear next week, oh, I told you they're fine. They're going to be all right. I fully expect that because that's kind of the MO that they have demonstrated.
I heard the stat on G-Bag a couple of weeks ago. Like they – Jason Garrett as a home favorite his record is not good in terms of covering as a home favorite. So obviously,
what
they
about winning?
I mean, he's got to be decent because he's won a lot of regular season games. But like the covering as a home favorite he was like 1-30 or something or 1-25. So the answer is yes, they do. They do have a relentless spirit and. They fight and claw and scratch, and you've got to be proud of the way that they fight and scrawn. I'm trying to do the Garrettisms here. But I don't know. I just – if they try to beat the Eagles with this power running, with Zeke Elliott and 28 carries a game, 3.9 per game, they're not going to beat the Eagles. Eagles have a really banged up bad secondary.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Injury's not an excuse this week because the Eagles have it bad too, especially as
they lost to the Saints without Drew Brees.
Yeah.
How are injuries ever an excuse? The Packers without Devontae Adams, the Saints without Drew Brees. Like, I don't care that you don't have your left tackle. They didn't have Drew Brees,
yep.
And they're 4-0.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater's not great. They're 4-0 without him. Nigel Bradham, linebacker, did not practice yesterday. Either did Fletcher Cox, Deshaun Jackson, Timmy Jernigan, Avante Maddox, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, all did not practice yesterday for the Eagles. They did have Jalen Mills back at practice, but they've got a bad secondary. Orlando Scandrick is making plays for them in their secondary. I mean, with Amari, without Amari, if we see the same, you know, downhill running, it's just going to be difficult for this team to win this game.
And I'm going to give Michael Gallup a pass. But Michael Gallup, if Amari's not there, even if he is,
right.
You can't suck like that.
Right.
You got to step up.
Go ahead.
I mean, with all the hype, he was talked about like a really good number two receiver. And really good number two receivers, oftentimes, the really good ones, which I think people thought think he has it in him.
He's averaging over 100 yards a game. So,
yeah.
He's having that season, but you're right. Last week was not a good week for him.
You can't be reliant on having your blankie there with you and Amari Cooper. So, this is another week potentially without Amari. You got to step up. And they need that because it is tough. I'll give Dak this pass that if you have receivers who aren't making plays for you, it is really, really tough.
Yeah.
I didn't think Dak was Dak's not the issue here.
No, he's right? not.
Like I think I saw one of those like Warren Sharp, the top five and bottom five quarterbacks last week in terms of decision making, and I think it combines accuracy, whatever. Dak was top five.
Yeah, he was impressed, and especially given how badly he was being hit.
He had you and me throwing. He was throwing to you and me, and he was getting hit by Bruce Smith and Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor every play. It seemed
right.
like. I mean, that's impressive, but those guys need to step up. And
yeah.
There's what? There's a good chance Smith and Collins don't play this week.
They didn't practice today.
Making progress, but still not a – it just – this is a big game, and you can afford to lose to the Jets. You can. It sinks in the moment this week. The narrative is very dark and gloomy. You can afford to lose to the Jets. It's not an NFC team. It's not a division team. You can't lose this game.
Yeah.
No, sir. Not at home. It just can't happen.
And to me, win or lose, it's what I see. If we see more of this, you know, this commitment to Zeke and running the football, like, I win or lose, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
if they lose 38-35 and they go back to looking like they did weeks 1-3, you're cool with that?
Yes. If they win 21-20 and they're winning and they won, just, you know, but it's the same kind of Garrett downhill running, I'm like, then the outcome is not going to be any different than it's been in years past, period. Like, they might make the playoffs, they might win the division, they're not getting past the division round of the playoffs. You cannot win in the playoffs unless you're willing to evolve and change and adapt and grow, and we thought we saw Jason Garrett doing that, but what we might have actually been seeing was Jason Garrett allowing Kellen Moore the reins and then being like, hey, Zeke's now back and got his footing and we're just going to run the ball 40 times with him because that's what we're going to do. And that's, you know, that's just not how to win in the modern NFL. And that's, you know, Garrett is so committed to the things, the processes that he has and the things that he does. It's just bewildering when you look at Bill Belichick, who constantly evolves. You look at the smart Andy Reid, the smartest coaches in all of sports that are constantly evolving and changing and growing and malleable, and they're different and they're changing to the players they have and changing to the times. That Jets game, Jared, if I'm being honest, felt like the beginning of the end for Jason Garrett. Yeah. Anybody that thinks Garrett's going to get fired in season, like, they have to be atrociously bad. It's probably not going to happen. If they lose the Eagles, they're not going to fire Jason Garrett, and they're not probably not going to do it midseason. But this is probably going to be his last year with the Cowboys because we just are starting to see what we've already seen from him, which is the inability to evolve and grow and adapt. And that's why that Jets game just felt like the beginning of the end for Jason Garrett for me. And that's a pessimistic way to look at this season. We just finished a season last year where it was like, you can't play that way. And then they fire Scott Linehan, and it's like, thank God, the Wicked Witch is gone. Yeah. No, oh, wait.
Wrong witch.
Oh, wait. Well, they're running the ball in the fourth quarter down 2 scores. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing?
All right, so what concerns you about the Eagles? To me, I mean,
the Cowboys coaching staff.
Okay.
Jason Garrett.
In a vacuum, what concerns you about the Eagles?
You know, look, this is a good offense. Zach Ertz hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential. They have really good running backs in Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard. You know, I don't know if Deshaun Jackson will be back this week. He's always been a Cowboys killer, especially with the Eagles. And then Alshon Jeffery. I mean, this is an offense that's capable of putting up points. Can the Cowboys, as a downhill running football team, keep up? The defense of the Eagles doesn't concern me. It's the Eagles' firepower offensively and the Cowboys being able to keep up.
And they got a mobile quarterback who's tough to bring down.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys have not done a good job of putting pressure on quarterbacks
right.
or finishing plays.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to me is, and I don't love Carson Wentz the way I think some people do. Like, I don't know that I would take Carson Wentz over Dak. I actually might take Dak over
Wentz. No, yeah.
But the Cowboys do struggle with this type of a guy. And the secondary isn't good. So you give a guy 3, 4, 5 seconds to make a pass, he'll do that. And they'll hit you with big plays. Are the Cowboys going to play single high safety and just bait the Eagles to beat him in the passing game like they did with the Jets?
Oh, God.
I hope not, but they will if you do. And the other thing is I'm curious how the Cowboys fare against Alshon Jeffery because they've struggled against the tall receiver. That's, you know, Alshon plays a big man's game as a receiver. And so from a defensive standpoint, that concerns me for the Cowboys. Offensively, you know, whether Fletcher Cox plays or not, I think he's like sick. I think he's going to play or whatever. I don't want to watch another game where within a half a second, Dak is engulfed by Eagles jerseys. And the Eagles will put pressure on you. Jim Schwartz is like Greg Williams. He will blitz. He will get creative. He will apply pressure. And he will smell blood and attack. And that blood is very existent along that Cowboys O-line, and you're not even, you know, Amari plays or not, Dak doesn't even have time to make plays, and so that's what concerns me. Jim Schwartz concerns me.
Can you, if I asked you a question, would you give me an answer as if we're talking about the Texas Rangers?
Sure.
Okay. Are the Cowboys going to make a trade at the deadline?
Okay, you know what? What would you want? Like, if you had one
defensive
item,
tackle,
interior lineman, yeah, and who's out there? I mean, is Gerald McCoy there for the taking? Like, I can't see that happening now.
He was in the offseason.
Yeah,
could have had him if they wanted him. But they were fine at defensive tackle. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, who's available? And then
Leonard Williams, but I don't think the Jets want to give up Leonard Williams.
Right.
You know, like, I heard KT mention his name, and KT said, you know, the Jets aren't – that's going to be a hefty price tag. But who
– it's a seller's market. I mean, it's like baseball. It's a seller's market at this time. I mean, Jalen Ramsey commanded more than Khalil Mack. In what world does that make any sense?
It's a tough one. And he's – yeah, and he's about to get paid a ton.
And if I'm the Cowboys – I'm not giving up for, like, the Cowboys could be bad this year. This thing could go south. I'm not giving up my first round pick.
Right.
Not again.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have asked me, you know, about a trade. You do not make a trade this time of year. The Amari Cooper trade was perfect because it just fell into their lap and it was good value. There's just nothing out there that interests me to that degree. And the thing is too, people keep going back to this. Well, they were 3-5 last year. So don't lose hope. They were 3-5 last year. Yeah, but this isn't...
Their schedule's a lot harder at the back end this year.
It's so much tougher. They also, like... The Amari Cooper thing was so new and fresh at that time that it kind of, I think, fooled some teams. They're able to do some things. Whereas, you know, now they've had an offseason to prepare for him. Like, there's just no... There's no trade that they could make that would be that much of an influence on them this year. Like, to me, their defense is a problem. I can't minimize that point, but their offense is the bigger problem. They're off because you have to score.
The offense is, I think, philosophically the bigger problem. I just think the reason I brought up the defense is because people have harped and understandably so.
Both of these things can be true.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not one or the other. I think we also need to throw. And it's not just the players. I think it's been a process where now we're, you know, the first few weeks, well, this guy hasn't been as good. This guy hasn't been as good. That, you know, why? Now it's like, listen, I love Chris Richard. He's a USC guy. I'm a USC guy. But he deserves some blame here.
Yeah.
Schematically, it seems like they have been outcoached. I mean, I don't know what it's like to have I thought I knew defensively. I think I still do defensively to know what it's like to have a guy who runs the show, who is going to give you an edge or make you better, but I don't know what it's like offensively. We got a taste of it the first few weeks, but
I just figured out best case scenario here. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Jason Garrett, the next coach of the USC Trojans. Get ready for it.
He's made
for college, though. Like, I think he could have a lot of success. Maybe not at USC, because you just said like the saddest look on your. I think he could be a good college coach. I really do. He's just the rah-rah, win one for the Gipper kind of college type coach that doesn't really work in the NFL.
Let's send him to UCLA. You can go to UCLA and take over for Chip Kelly. God, that'd be miserable.
All right. Anything else?
No, now you just got me in a bad worry that's going to happen.
They just need to hire somebody that's not a former football player to run their athletic department. Just like, how about an athletic director?
Yeah.
How about like a non-former football player to run your athletic
department? That works. I mean, we've gone from...
Like, I think they've had four consecutive former football players.
Mike Garrett to Pat Hayden to Lynn Swan. And, I mean, they got rid of Mike Garrett, who is the best of the three of them. The other two sucked.
Yeah, I mean, just maybe not don't... I mean, maybe OJ next?
Okay, that's going a little... Reggie. Let's bring Reggie Bush on. Let's bring him back. They should. I would actually be in support of that.
Yeah.
That's a big middle finger to the NCAA.
At Jared Sandler on Twitter. I am at RE Sports. Make sure to, I was going to say, subscribe to the podcast. I don't even know if people can.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
just click the link. We'll tweet it.
Yeah. I appreciate everybody's.
If you're listening, you've already clicked the link.
Click the link again. Yeah. But starting next week, we're going to have player interviews on the show. So we're excited about that. And look, we're going to be talking about victory next week, right?
Yeah, I think so. I go Cowboys 31, Eagles 26.
Man.
I'm going to walk off on that.
By the way, it's a 4-point spread. That's a cover.
There you go.
That's a cover. I'm going to go. I don't want to. I really don't know that the Cowboys are going to win this game, but I'm going to pick them because I want them to. I really want them to because I hate the Eagles. And I'm a homer. But they're not going to cover because Jason Garrett never covers. So I'll go classic Jason Garrett 27 to 24. 27-24, classic Jason Garrett. A lot of field goals.
I can live with that.
All right, on Twitter, at Jared Sandler. I am at RE Sports. And hit us up if you want to sponsor our podcast. And if you don't, then no big deal.
No, it is a big deal.
Sponsor our podcast. Jared can't eat.
Legit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.